shipped off to.
Praise God. We are thankful for both of those joys shared, that Keith's medical procedure went well and James is out of basic training. Darlene. Thank you very much. Tom.
Since I have a knee injection in the knee, I bought a real high 730, so I'm doing it for the master this Saturday. I'm going to be wearing our symbol for our church for that tournament. So.
Praise God that Tom's knee is doing well after his injection, and he'll be bowling in a Masters tournament this Saturday wearing a disciple chalice, proudly proclaiming a disciple bowling for God. Arlen. Amen. Spring break for college students this week and for high school students in a couple weeks. Safe travels for all those who are on the road. Cindy. Prayers of strength for our friend Joyce, who's studying to be an Episcopal deacon and is now officiating at her first funeral, that God will be with her on that hard day. I know we have other prayers in our hearts and on our minds. Let us take those to the Lord now in a time of shared silence. Holy God, your grace and glory is beyond compare. We give thanks, Almighty One, and praise you for the abundance of your love, for the blessings of life itself, for the gift of community, and the privilege of prayer. Lord, we ask for your healing hand to be upon June Wilcox, Roger Cook, Gene Buck, and others who are in the hospital. Be with Colleen and heal her lungs that the chest tube might be removed and she can leave the hospital soon. Lord, thank you for Keith's successful procedure. We continue to pray for his healing. Thank you that Tom's knee is strong and well, and he is bowling among the best scores of his life. God be with him in the coming weekend that he might do his best in the Masters tournament. We thank you, God, for watching over all of us in every stage of life, in every point where we find ourselves on our faith journey. Thank you for the birth of little Eliza Ann. Bless her with joy and health. Thank you for giving her loving parents, a toting grandmother, a dedicated family to help raise her to know and love you. Be with little Malia and her parents, Cherry and Mike. May your healing be on their family. Watch over John and others who struggle with MS. Bless those who are living with cancer. And Lord, at the far spectrum of life, we pray for families grieving loved ones who have gone home to be with you in heaven. May your spirit be with Joyce as she officiates at her first funeral, a service for a dear friend. Bless her with words and the ministry of your presence. Thank you, God, for successful completions of journeys, for James having survived basic training. Watch over him in his adventure of what is next as he serves our country. Be with all those college students who are traveling home or traveling far from home to enjoy spring break, that they might be safe and return to their studies. Lord, we pray for those who travel even farther from home to work as missionaries, short-term and long-term. Be with Dan and Mark Halleck and those who travel with them, that this time in Swaziland might be a blessing of fellowship among Christians from different continents. May your spirit reign with love in all that is shared on their journey. Thank you for Rosalind Natt and the work that she does in Germany. And we pray for chaplains who serve in our community across the region and around the world to minister, especially in times of crisis. Holy God, for every prayer that we have named aloud today and for those that we hold in silence in our hearts, we give thanks for your listening presence, for your care, for your answering when your people call. In the name of Christ, amen.
About 3 months ago, I had the joy and privilege of sitting where you're sitting out there and listening to our Youth Sunday. It was during the Christmas season, and they were talking about the Christmas story and that, and then they shared with us some of their special memories about Christmas. And I remembered one young lady talking about sticky buns, that they made the sticky buns. These sticky buns smelled, you could smell the fragrance of the bread baking and the spices, the cinnamon and the sugar. And then they took them out of the oven, you know, and they're kind of that ooey gooey stuff, you know, that gets on your fingertips. And I remember seeing the joy in her face as she talked about that they would take these sticky buns to share with other family members, ones who didn't live necessarily with them. And I thought, man, I could go for sticky buns for communion. You know, because when you really think about it, God's love with this bread and cup is like a sticky bun. You see, there's God's love and sweetness that he passes upon us. The time and effort that it takes to make the sticky buns from scratch is the time and effort that God gave to us when he gave his son for our salvation. And after we've partaken in the bread and the cup is like after you've ate a sticky bun and you're a few hours later and you happen to lick your finger and you can still taste the sweetness of God's love and what he shared with us. And the joy that she told of sharing those is what we share communion with the entire family of God. Let us sing our communion hymn number 330.
As we come to this table, we welcome all who believe in Jesus to share in the Lord's Supper with us. And we remember that night when he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This bread is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
We come to this table, O Lord, as one great fellowship of love. Although we do not always love you as we ought, nor do we love one another as we should, help us as we eat this bread and drink of this cup to remember that all people everywhere long to know and receive your goodness. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't have a nifty story to tell you about tithes and offerings today. I've been thinking about it all week, and I couldn't come up with a story. I couldn't even steal one from you Sunday. And I really kind of tried to research tithes and offerings and gifts and everything, and I just couldn't feel something that really brought it to me. So I was driving to church this morning. I came up with the only thing I could think of. And that is, as you're sitting there, take a look around. Now, I'm not asking you to take a look at the bricks and mortar, but look at the people that are surrounding you and the people that are here. Because if you want to know what your offering dollars and your gifts and your tithes go for, it's for the people. You see, we need the bricks and mortar. We need to pay the heat. We need to pay the air conditioning. We need to pay the minister's salary. We need to pay the water so it's on and everything. But really, when you look around, it's what we give. The money helps with the programs and the people that you have here. You see, everyone in this church gives. And they not only give monetarily, but they give of love, friendship, and honor. You know, and if I was to tell you what I saw the most of giving to the church, I would tell you is just take a look. I mean, we had Lynn Clocksheim, who loved the bell choir, who loved the choir. His passion was there. He brought it to the choir. Now, Lynn's not with us right now, but he shared that passion with Amber. And Amber carries forward that legacy that's there with him. We've got the Steve Huckfelts and the Keith Rouses, who, you know, if I close my eyes, I can see them laying underneath the kitchen sink trying to fix something. Day after day, night after night, after a long, hard day at work, they're back down here trying to figure out why we can't get hot water. That's love. I look at the joy of the kids' faces that come here for the children's time and that go off to worship and wonder, and the programs and the money that we provide, and that's our youth going forward. That's what we give when we give our offerings to this church. Not necessarily, don't think of it as for bricks and mortars and we got to pay bills and those type of things. It's people. And that's what God wanted us to think about, is the people that love us and that we love them. Our diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Oh, gracious God, we ask that you bless these gifts so that we can use them to spread joy, happiness, peace, and love the way you have shown us how to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And I forgot one very important item that happens to us seniors. But I forgot to mention that Joe Cox is preparing chicken and rice also. So if you can't stand corned beef, come in a way. There's an alternative.
Thank you. Scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. You can find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament portion, page 106. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that this should save, that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, choir, for that beautiful anthem today. What a fitting message during the season of Lent. This morning, we are privileged to have with us the interim executive regional minister of the Central Rocky Mountain Region Christian Church Disciples of Christ. It's a lot easier if you just call him Dean. We are glad you're here to bring God's word to us. Welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Cynthia, and yes, you should see how small I try to write to get all of that on the line of the form that I have to fit it on. It's even more interesting when people say, oh, and what do you do? It is such a thrill, such a privilege to be back in Casper, to be here at First Christian Church as part of the 311,000 square miles of disciples making a difference that make up the Central Rocky Mountain region of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We've got congregations in big cities, small towns, small churches, large churches, strong churches, struggling churches. Congregations that speak English, a little bit of Spanish, Samoan, Tongan, and a Pacific Island dialect called Chuuk. So we're multilingual. We are congregations that are white, black, yellow, brown, and all shades in between. We are many different congregations, but we're one church. We're one church because we share one gospel. We're called to proclaim and serve one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's just a privilege to be here with you as part of that congregation, especially to be at First Christian Church in Casper, a congregation that I think really understands the sticky buns. This is a church that can look at that wonderful, delicious, gooey, sticky bun and realize, you know, I didn't grow the grain. I didn't gather the eggs. I didn't milk the cow. I didn't stir up the batter. It wasn't my oven, but I've been blessed to have this wonderful, delicious, sticky bun. And because I'm so blessed, I want to share my sticky bun with some other folks. This is a generous and loving congregation, and I appreciate your presence and your witness here in Casper and across the life of the church. So in John chapter 12 that we heard read this morning, once again we find ourselves in the home of Mary and Martha. We find ourselves at Bethany. And I will admit that I don't spend a lot of time in John's gospel. I spend much more of my time in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So when I think of the home of Mary and Martha, I'm often thinking of the account that is given at the end of Luke chapter 10. You might remember this story. Jesus is in the home of Mary and Martha is scurrying around, getting dinner ready, making all the preparations, taking care of all the details. and comes out and eventually just gets fed up with her sister and says, and comes out and says, "Now, Jesus, you know, make her do her part. Make her help me." And so once again, here we are at Bethany. Here we are in the home of Mary and Martha. Once again, Martha is serving dinner. And once again, Mary is at Jesus' feet. But there's a new wrinkle in this story. Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus is there. And had we backed up a little bit and begun at the end of John chapter 11, we would have heard the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus is there. Lazarus is at table with them. Lazarus is really alive. See, that's how you knew whether you were with a real person, because ghosts don't need to eat. Real people eat. Lazarus is alive. Lazarus is at the table with them. He's eating with them. And there's poor Mary. Both in Luke and in John, she gets criticized, either for what she's doing or for what she's not doing. She just can't win. I mean, picture the scene. Jesus and Lazarus and who knows how many other guests seated at the table, Martha serving dinner, Jesus there, and then in comes Mary with this jar of ointment. And she breaks it open and pours out the whole jar on Jesus' feet and rubs the ointment into his feet and wipes his feet with her hair. Now, I'm convinced that one of the lessons of Scripture is that human nature hasn't changed much in the last 5,000 years. See, when something extravagant gets done, and trust me, this is over the top, this is off the hook. A denarius is about the amount of a day's wage for a laborer. This ointment costs almost a year's wages. And Mary takes it and just breaks it open and pours out the whole thing. It's extravagant. It's off the hook. It's off the chart. And when something extravagant gets done, it seems like there's always somebody leaning up against the wall who's there to ask, "Now, just who made this decision?" See, sometimes we fail to make disciples because we're too busy making decisions. Our ministry to others, our witness to our love for God and God's love for us, is not shown in the decisions we make. Our ministry is in the actions we take. And Mary takes action. Her love for Jesus is shown in the jar. Her love for the teacher literally gets poured out. Not a little dab, but the whole jar. See, when we as individuals or as the church are truly engaged in ministry, we're going all out. It's not a little dab here or there behind the ear or on the wrist. Ministry is not about giving folks a passing scent of Jesus. But if we follow Mary's example, we pour out the whole jar so that the entire room is filled with the aroma. When you were talking about those sticky buns, I imagine the bakery in my hometown, when they had the ovens fired up, you could smell it for a couple of blocks. It's that kind of extravagance. And it's that kind of extravagance, I think, that sets Judas off. And kind of gets him to thinking, well, you know, we could have reallocated these resources. You know, the jar was more valuable when it was sealed. You know, as soon as you drive the car off the lot, it loses value. And you just broke it open. The one that I think sticks with me the most, this could have been sold and we could have just sent in a check. We could have kept ourselves at a nice, safe distance. We could have kept ourselves at a place where we wouldn't really have to get our hands dirty, where we wouldn't have to be out there rubbing somebody's feet. But ministry is extravagant. The sacrifices are large. I have yet to find the example in Scripture where God calls somebody to something that's easy. Noah, I need you to build a boat that's big enough to hold two of every living creature on the face of the earth. Abraham, pack up your family and everything you own and set out on the road, and when you get where you're going, I'll tell you. Paul, that persecutor of the church, blinded by his encounter with Jesus, only to become the evangelist, the missionary, the apostle to the Gentiles, and wait till you hear what God has in store for Paul. I have yet to see where God calls anybody to something easy. It's always off the charts. It's always extravagant. It's always over the top. Like the nurse in that part of Chicago that's populated by that homeless population there. And part of her work in the wintertime in the shelter would be to examine some of the homeless men there and look at their feet where they'd been frostbitten. And her work would involve debriding the dead tissue away from feet that were worn from age and from use and from lack of care. And somebody looking over her shoulder and saying, you know, I wouldn't do that if you paid me. And her looking back up and saying, I wouldn't either. God's love for us is extravagant. It's over the top. It's off the hook. Our ministry to others is extravagant. And yes, so extravagant, so over the top that there will be people who just don't understand. And yes, some of them will be critical. But Jesus is there to say, leave him alone. Leave her alone. She's doing a good thing. He's doing a good thing. This group of people, this church, they're doing a good thing. And they're doing it for me.
And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dean. After worship every Sunday, we have a time of fellowship downstairs in Fellowship Hall, and we would invite everyone here to come today, enjoy a cup of coffee or a cold beverage, a snack, and a time to visit with one another. If you're a visitor, we'd love to have the chance to greet you, and perhaps you have been here for years, but there's someone in worship today that you don't know, or you don't remember their name. It's a chance for us to connect with one another and share in fellowship, as well as to visit with Dean. So please stay if you can after worship. Our hymn of dedication this morning is in the hymnal on page 339. You'll find the song, Just As I Am. If there is someone who's looking for a church home today, maybe you're afraid that the church is a place of folks leaning against the wall complaining. Well, such is life. The church is a place of love, where we strive together to share the extravagance of God's love, and we would love to share that with you. So if you need a church home, and you're willing to accept people who aren't perfect, but who would love to share Christ with you, we invite you to join us here at First Christian. By confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together, Just As I Am, without one plea.
Just as I am without one plea, God,
all hearts and minds are clear. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you just as we are, with our imperfections, with our inability to make everyone happy all of the time, but our sincere desire to serve you. We give thanks, O God, for your extravagant love poured out upon us. Love extravagant enough that we can share it with others in abundance. Bless us, Holy One, as we go forth this day to carry your extravagant love to a world in need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life.